Tonight, during our study time, I want us to look at the answers to a question, and that question is, why is life in this world so hard? Why is life so hard? And why do we suffer? How often have you heard someone want to say, well, you know, if God is real, he would not allow bad things and all of, you know, all of those foolish remarks we've heard through our life. Well, folks, everything that goes on with us here on earth goes on in our life for a purpose. And God says that even the bad things, it's to help us walk closer with him. Now, you and I do not understand the big why, you know, but, you know, wouldn't I have paid attention had this not have happened? And it doesn't mean that God says, okay, I'm going to punish you, and this is what's going on with the hurt in your life. I know many who believe that. Well, you know, if I had not sinned that day, somebody would still be alive. Well, I got news for you. You're going to sin every day. And it's not going to be just once during that day. God says, I'm going to place you on earth, but I want you to know that I love you. Now, when you and I accept that love that God expresses to us and gives to us, when we accept that love, then we need to understand, just like we would with our parents. And I really have to be cautious now, because I do know there's a lot of children that are raised today who have horrible parents. And there's love does not have a thing to do with the punishment they're receiving or the chastisement they're receiving. It just has to do with we have a generation of parents who just don't care about their kids. Just get them raised, get them out, and let's go on our vacations or whatever. But I'm talking about the heartfelt, caring concern of the true parents that God means for us to be. Doesn't mean we don't mess up, but it means that we truly have love for our children. And then in the expression of our love for our children, sometimes as they grow up, we wonder, Lord, where did I go wrong? Where did I go wrong? Look at this adult human being that I fed and nurtured and took to Sunday school, took to church, and I loved, and they have gone wild into this world. That kicks back, though, on training a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from that. Doesn't mean old age, folks. It means at the right time, at the right point of time. Did not all of us experience life? Did we not experience after our salvation of not that we would get so excited and then our excitement would sort of wane back and we get comfortable in the pew and not as active? And then later on we think, why have we been sitting here, and we get going. Okay, you heard a little of that this morning when I was talking about when the Lord was letting us know about the importance of the living the life and understanding the struggles, which will tie in for us. We are on earth for a purpose, a training area, a training period. We call it from cradle to the grave, training. Truly, it is the Lord that says from the cradle to the grave, you were trained. But there is no such thing for the grave for the spiritual creature, us. And we will never see death, so therefore, after the training in this body, we are to be with the Lord. Now, why would he send us through this training if we weren't going to do anything when we got to heaven? Or there was not be a ministry for us throughout eternity? And God says, this is how much I love you. Remember this morning? He watched his own son go through this. And because he loves us. So you and I, as children of God, through Christ, need to understand Jesus' love for us supersedes all understanding, that even a parent's love for their child. As much as we love our children, our love for our children still can't compare to God's love for our children. Okay. Why is life so hard? Why do we suffer? Job 7:1. People have a hard task on earth, and their days are like those of a laborer. Anybody disagree with that? I mean, have you had it good your whole life? Actually, we have in this nation, because once you leave the continental United States, travel to foreign land, you realize how good that God has been to us in this nation. First of all, here's the cause. The cause of the hardship, the cause of suffering. It's rebellion against God. Interestingly enough, the rebellion against God brought death to the earth. Not just death to us as the human beings. Death to the earth. Now listen. Romans 5:12. Sin came into the world because of what one man did. And with sin came death. Isaiah 53:6. All of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own paths. I wonder how many times that we leave God's path. See, when we, so often as Christians, when we get a stumbling block before us, God is wanting to know how we handle those stumbling blocks. Whether or not that as I'm stumbling and in the process of falling, do I say, save me, Lord, like Peter did? Do I say, Lord, here I am where you sent me and I can't do it on my own? Or when we think there's something up there we're going to trip over, we just don't go any further. God is interested in watching us go on by faith when we realize that we're going to stumble, that we could trip at any moment and fall. And God says, call on me. Why do I wait to call on him afterwards? Wonder why, but before we start that journey, every time that we don't ask God to bless our journey with his protection. Lord, keep Daddy awake while he's driving. But Lord, I'd appreciate it also if you'd stay awake with him. You know, that child's prayer that reaches out. And that's what we need to be doing in our everyday life. Proverbs 20, verse 9. No one can say, I am innocent. I have never done anything wrong. All right? No one can say that and it be true. A lot of people say it. And I know you all get as nervous as I do when I hear people say that. That you must get to a point in your life to where perfection is just a hair's width away. Well, I don't even want to be around somebody who thinks that. But no one can say, I'm innocent, I have never done anything wrong. You all remember that when I was, I came here 1,000 years ago, and when I was doing a lot of evangelism and also speaking to schools and all. And I always had something that I would break the ice with when I was doing the revivals. And I remember it here also, that when I said, okay, I've spent all these years as chaplain of jails and prisons. This is what I do. And I always want to make certain that I know how to speak to the different venues, simply because I deal with criminals all the time. So I come into a community and I want to find out. Now, here I am as a chaplain. I deal with the criminal element. And I want to know what kind of element that I'm dealing with here, so if I need to change my style of preaching. And my question was, how many of you all have never in your whole life stolen anything from anybody, including God? Raise your hand. And I won't say that it was here because I just remember a hand going up on that one. And, you know, I'm sort of chuckling to myself, well, the next one I get it. And then how many of you have never, ever told a lie in your whole life? Raise your hand. The same hand went back up. So what I said was, that's great. I'm preaching to a bunch of liars and thieves. Everybody laughed, but that one who raised the hand. Well, I never expect anyone to raise their hand in those situations, but folks, people do. People see themselves, why do I need forgiven for? I've never sinned anyway. And it's pitiful to see that, but it's a fact. There are three kinds of rebellion. Here they are. Sin. We talk about this kind of rebellion all the time. Many times we don't know the definition. So let's look at it. I want us to have it. Sin. Sin is called, defined as missing the mark, falling short, not measuring up. Now, that's fine. It's rebellion against God. But then iniquity. You remember, iniquity abounds. And, you know, I grew up hearing the word iniquity, and I had no idea what iniquity meant. I have, you know, it just didn't, iniquity. Yeah, that's something bad. Iniquity is intention to hurt, damage, to do evil to others. You commit iniquity when you intend to do harm to someone else. Transgressions. To transgress is to go beyond the set boundary. Transgressions against God. God says, you may come only so far, but go no further. When we transgress, that means we step over the line. We've transgressed the mark that God had placed for us. Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you. This is David. And did not cover up my iniquity. I confess my transgressions, and you forgave my guilt. Now, catch that. It encompasses the sin, the iniquity, and the transgressions, okay? And David is saying, when I confessed I'm guilty of these, you forgave my guilt. You see, I did these things. So therefore, I can't say it's as though I never did them because I did do them. So what it is, I confess that I'm guilty and you forgave my guilt of it. Meaning only guilt can send me to jail. Only to be found guilty can send you to the death penalty. And Jesus forgave the guilt. God has always been in the forgiving business. Roman numeral 2, look at this. Here's the damage that takes place any time that we decide that we know how to handle life without God. Here's the damage of it. Everything is damaged because we made poor choices. Sin. Results of our sin, the first result is natural disasters and deformities. Now, listen to the scripture on Romans. Romans 8:20. Creation was condemned to lose its purpose. Romans, let me give you that in the... what I've done, I got the Good News Bible version. I've got the Century version, and then of both of those. And Romans 8:20, the Century English version is... Creation is confused. Remember, creation was condemned to lose its purpose. Creation is confused. Romans 8:22, all of creation groans with pain. Mother Earth has been groaning with pain ever since sin came from the garden. Do we not remember that the curse was against the soil? There was no curse against man. The curse was against the earth. Therefore, we would have to till the earth with the sweat of our brow, and through the thickets, the briars, and all of this, we would work to get the food from it. Well, how was it before? It was the Garden of Eden. God provided it all. You were never had a rained out game because everything was watered from beneath. It never rained. So therefore, everything was perfect in the Garden of Eden until God placed man there. And we've been messing it up ever since. So people say, well, you know, you are destroying earth. I'll go along with that 100%. But it was the sin part that started the destruction of earth. Here's a second result. Physical decay and death. Because of sin, you and I are physically decaying, and pretty soon we're going to die. Woo! That ought to cheer us up, huh? 2 Corinthians 4:16. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker. Now, does anybody object to that? You said, no, that can't be right. Okay. Look at Ecclesiastes 12, 1 through 5. Here's Solomon. Don't let the excitement of being young cause you to forget about your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before the evil years come, when you'll no longer enjoy living. There will be a point in our lives, if we live long enough, to where we yearn for what is to be, what is to come. For the days will have been spent. We can't, not only can we not run up the steps anymore, we're going to have to get something that's got a motor on it and take us up the step when we can. But use our youth to glorify God. It will be too late then to try to remember Him when the sun and light and moon and stars are dim to your old eyes, and there is no silver lining left among your clouds. For there will come a time when your limbs will tremble with age, your strong legs will become weak, and your teeth will be too few to do their work, and there will be blindness too. Then let your lips be tightly closed while eating, when your teeth are gone, and you will waken at dawn with the first note of the birds. But you yourself will be deaf and tuneless with a quavering voice. You will be afraid of heights and of falling. A white-haired, withered old man. If it's scripture, I got to read it, people. All right, thank you. Yeah, withered old man dragging himself along without sexual desire, standing at death's door and nearing its everlasting home as the mourners go along the streets. Today's Living Bible.
The first time I ever read it was in a King James Bible.
Oh, what?
And everybody ought to read that.
Yep.
King Solomon fell like it is.
Yeah, well, he did. See, you got to remember again for all the translations, and that's why it's so beautiful. And whether it's in the King James or the Day Living Bible or whatever, it's just the same meaning, just a more modern day word. Although I don't remember laughing when I read King James. Yeah. I mean, you got a picture and you're looking at it like it's somebody else. Okay, third result is emotional distress and disappointment. Ecclesiastes 1:14-15. Everything under the sun is meaningless, like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be righted, and what is missing cannot be recovered. Folks, in describing to us our very existence, it's a focus of get the message while you can, while you can make a difference. Fourth result, relational distance and discord. Ecclesiastes 4:1. I saw all the people who were mistreated here on earth. I saw their tears and that they had no one to comfort them. Genesis 3:7. They suddenly felt ashamed of their nakedness, so they strung fig leaves together to cover themselves up. Genesis 3:10. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Remember Adam's comment? Why were you hiding? Now, how did you know you were naked? When the Lord focuses on our life as individuals, He wants us to know that He knows everything that is going on in our life. But what He is wanting us to do is that we will accept the fact that God knows, and the fact that He still loves us, and that these things are going to happen. They don't happen, folks, because, okay, you did this wrong thing today and you did this wrong. It's a part of life. Rains on the just as well as the unjust. It's a part of living. Why do Christians get so upset that or professing Christians, and I believe many are, but get so upset because as soon as tragedy strikes our family, we strike out at God, and why us after all what we have done for you, Lord? That sounds like one of the prayers, wasn't it? Lord, I thank you that I am not like these other sinners, the rest of these people. Yeah, got to be careful there. Here's the fifth result. Financial and vocational difficulties. Now, what reverses this? The reversing of all of the things that we're seeing. We're going to go through it. But you see, the power of them is that people think that this is what it takes for me to live. But the truth is, salvation. You and I, when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, as we go through these hurt and pains, one thing we have over the non-believers, we know what's waiting for us. We know that it gets better. We know that one day, and it's a short period of time, we're not going to have to strive in this body anymore. It's going to be over. So I look forward to that homecoming. I look forward to the supper bell. I look forward to all the smiling faces. And I never forget this. One of the professor's statements of heaven is a place where you know people that you didn't even know on earth, but you will know who they are. I'm thinking, isn't that great? Do what?
I said, my question is, how does he know?
How does who know?
How does the professor know that?
He knew because of heaven, because of how great the love of God is. You remember, you will know as you are known. Each of us will know as those who are already there know of us. Do you ever just have a situation going on and you just know, you know what it is, you know you're safe. Well, how do you know you're safe? I just know. But what he was trying to get at is that is the different realm in which we will live. It's not an idea then of us introducing one another to each other. And we're going to know one another, and there will be perfect peace. And we're going to need the perfect peace, obviously, throughout eternity, because we will continue to minister throughout eternity. Where we're going to be going and all of this, I never know that, but again, let me bring to your all's attention. Do we really believe, out of all that God has created, that earth is the only place that God has chosen to have life? See, what we don't know, we don't understand. And yet we take by faith the virgin birth. Well, why do you take that by faith? Because I know it happened. How do you know it happened? Because I know. I know I'm saved. Oh, I guess you can say that you know you're going to heaven. Yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. Yes, and I know it. Well, explain to me how you know. Can't. I know by faith is something you can't explain. Okay, financial and vocational difficulties, Ecclesiastes 5:13-14. Here is terrible. That Kentucky part has to come out. Terrible thing that I have seen in this world. People save up their money for a time when they may need it, and then lose it all in some bad deal, and end up with nothing left to pass on to their children. Do you know that happens, preacher? Yeah, I sure do. It's called life. How many times? And if you don't lose it in some bad deal, you'll be paying it out in taxes to another bad deal. Ecclesiastes 2:17 plus verse 20. I hated life because the work I did under the sun was meaningless to me. So I turned in despair from hard work. It was not the answer to my search for satisfaction in this life. Remember, Solomon's whole teaching in Ecclesiastes dealt on everything. He was trying to find meaning in everything that he did. And if he was poor, there was no meaning there. If he was wealthy, there was no meaning there. So he went out and he got drunk, and there was no meaning there. In all of life's experiences, he said, there is no meaning. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity, said the preacher. Now, that had to be depressing to everyone, wouldn't you say? So why do we exist? The focus of God's word here to us is this. If we look at our life based on what we contribute and trust of our fellow man, we will see nothing that's going to last. It doesn't work. You can't get wealthy enough to where, okay, I don't have to worry about money, to the point you get that and you say you don't have to worry. Then what do you worry about? Well, I worry about my health. I worry about this. But you got all that money. What about your health? It doesn't have a thing to do with it. All the best doctors in the world cannot keep you from dying. Okay, so Solomon is saying this. All of you who look at life as though you're in control of it, and this will change the way I think, that will change the way I think, then I want you to know it's vanity. Because it does not work. Only Christ, only through the love of God, folks. What good is it to be the wealthiest individual on earth and not to have peace? There's nothing wrong with wealth. There's nothing wrong with having things. What's wrong is when you worship that, or you think you have it because you're so smart. And God says, it's all vanity. How many people have things when they die, but not peace? And because when you are looking for things to bring you enjoyment, then the neighbor, you know, he ends up buying something more beautiful, you know. So then you're down, so you want to get bigger and better. What was it, the Joneses or the Browns trying to...
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Keeping up with the Joneses, yeah. Sixth result, spiritual discontent and darkness. Oh, gosh, listen to this, Job 6:18. I am like a caravan, lost in the desert searching for water. He could, see, Job could not understand it. You know, what did I do? And then his friends come in and said, we don't know, Job, but it's your fault. And only God's the one that knew that what was going on with Job had nothing to do with the lack of faith of Job, but had to do with an attack from Satan himself that God allowed. Ephesians 4:18. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch with not only with God, but with reality itself. Let me read that again. They've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. That's the message. That's the most modern day type of a language. How true that is, huh? Oh, how true that is. Yeah. Wonder why. But, I mean, you know, I can wonder why we act that way all the time, that we know that God is talking to us, but we don't want to get in a conversation or even listen any longer. What's the solution? Whew. I'm glad we're getting to that part, folks. You know, I've been checking my teeth, see how many I got left and everything here. What's the solution? Number one, accept Jesus as your Savior. John 16:33. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Huh? Okay, but the Lord overcame the world, why then do I still have the trouble? You and I are going to walk through this world and live as human beings. Jesus didn't have to do this. He chose it because he loved us. And he chose to have to do it because that was the only way for us to be able to enter heaven with him. And he had to do it. He knew that. But he didn't have to take that step. He chose, which was a love choice. Number two is follow his light. When you accept Jesus, we get saved. That's what we call it as Baptists. We're saved, born again, born from above, born anew. And we're heaven bound. But too often we don't want to take the next step. When I am saved by the grace of the Lord, I should understand that I can walk by the grace of the Lord. I live by the grace of the Lord. And every day that God leaves us here is a blessing by the grace of God. The blessing doesn't mean that we feel so blessed because our bodies are breaking down. The blessing is knowing that God still has work for us to do. The greatest problem with those that I've talked to that retire. I mean, after you talk to a lot of people that retired, or you go to talk to people that's retired, and you find, well, they're dead. When they die? About 6 months after they retired. You see, we are created in the image of God, which means for us is that we seek that purpose. The people who lose or feel like they have no purpose are the individuals that are seeking to go on. Now, again, though, remember, a wise man thinks of death often. A fool just lives for the fun of the moment. So you think of it, but understand that there's a reason that we're still here. And the Lord still doesn't make any mistakes. To follow his light, John 8:12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't be stumbling through the darkness. Almost common sense, reckon? Yeah. Because you will have the light that leads to life. There was never an intent for us to have to die. We were created to live forever. And sin entered in. Christ conquered the sin power. And you and I get all the blessings and rewards.